1 Timothy chapter 4, we're continuing the thought here, and man, I'm telling you what, this one is a really good one, and that's why I didn't want to skip it when Brother Joe was enjoying him a little mini vacation last week, and so I understand that 100%. So we're going to look at a couple different places, but we're only looking two right now to start. So the main verse here is our text verse, and then we're going to go to the book of James. 1 Timothy 4, we've been using this verse, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Paul tells Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." This is the way a believer, a true believer. We're not better than nobody, but we are to set an example. That's what we were just talking about. Paul says, an example of the believers. This is how believers are supposed to be. 1 Timothy 4:12. He says in word. We went through that a few weeks ago. That's our doctrine there that we stand on. Doctrine in the scriptures. We looked at our conversation. And that's our daily speech. How you're to talk. You're to be different. It's not trying to pick on anybody. I love you. There's not a person in here that I don't want to see saved if you're lost. There's not a person in here that I want to see. There's not a person in this town, no matter how much they may hate my guts because of what I preach, there is not a person in this town that I want to see die and go to hell. None. Even the ones that have called me a heretic to my eye, I've been called a heretic to my face because I believed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been yelled at, screamed. That I do not want to see nobody die and go to hell. And how do we do that? Paul says that we have to be an example of the believers. This is what a believer is supposed to be. So tonight we're looking at in charity. In charity, and this is our decency towards society. When we talk about charity, we're talking about love in action. Go with me to James, and I'm going to get into this a little bit before I get started. James chapter 1, and then we're going to go just one verse and then straight into chapter 2. This is an example in charity is your decency towards society. James chapter 1. This is James. I want you to understand tonight, I am not going to teach a works-based salvation. We do not believe in a works-based salvation. You are not saved by works. But once you get saved, James says, you ought to be showing some works. Patrick, I don't know why now I've got Timothy stuck in my mind. I just because I was just in the book of Timothy, I almost called him. Patrick is married, according to what him and Miss Amos told me. They are married. He doesn't work to stay married. He works because he is married. Of course, in the way you do work, but you don't work to stay married. You're married until death do you part, whether you do work at it or not. But you ought to work towards your marriage so that you have a better marriage so that you can show others. This is one of the ways that we as a society has chosen. Do you have one?
I have one.
Okay. This is one of the ways that we as a society have chosen to show. Does anybody in here know how the Amish, one of the ways, I don't know if they wear gold, I don't think they do. Does anybody know one of the ways that Amish men show? I did not know this until probably about 10 years ago. The way that Amish men show that they're married?
Is it their beard?
Yeah.
Their beards. See, you could, they're, what did you say? Their facial hair, I didn't hear you. They believe that I can take this off and stick this in my pocket and I can go, nobody knows. But with a beard, there's no way the woman, you're going to shave that thing off, go have an affair and then grow your beard back without somebody knowing. So they're going to know that you were married. And that's what somebody told me. I did not realize that until then. But I mean, you can take this off. But this is what we've chosen as a society, as a civilization. This is one of the tokens. Like the women a lot of times will have an engagement ring, and then they'll have a wedding band to show those things. Some people, I'm not, you know, how I feel about tattoos, but I've even seen some people now, they'll tattoo a ring on their finger.
Mine's too fat, it won't come off.
But,
fingers too fat.
But anyway, the point is this does not make me married. I'm married because I stood on a marriage altar almost 18 years ago and vowed to my wife vowed to me. We don't work to be married, we work because we are married. We love each other. We've been through hard times. We ain't arrived after 18 years. We still have spats and stuff like that. But we work on our marriage. A marriage, contrary to, I don't want to say even popular belief, because those of us that are married in here know, but contrary to the person on the second row there, a great marriage just not happen like that. Right? Amen? A good marriage does not just happen like it has to be worked at. Just like you got hired to be a waitress and a dishwasher. Do you just, go in with whatever skill level and that's all you need for the rest of your time as a dishwasher and a waitress? No, you work at being better. Same thing, you work at being better husband, wife. We work at that. Well, same thing. We work to be better Christians. We're not perfect. See, that's where a lot of people get mad. When you try to live what Paul is telling Timothy here, they'll call you holy roller, Bible thumper. I've been called all those things. You think you're better than anybody else? No. No, but I do want you to see Christ in me. That's one of the things. When I met my wife 18 years ago, a little over 18 years ago, she said, I can see there's something different in you. And that's why she said, I want to go to church with you. But I want to go to the church where my daddy got saved. And sure enough, it was the church that I went to. That's how good God is. But this is what charity is. Charity is a love in action. Here's what he says, James says here. James chapter 1, verse 27. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So three things here that James says are distinctions for somebody that truly is saved. There's a lot of people that give to organizations that take care of widows. There's a lot of people that give to food banks and there's nothing. But there's very few people that will visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted before the world. See, that's the third thing right there. We're in a day and time, I talked about this before, not trying to be mean, but we're in a day and time where there during COVID, people that had members of their churches would not go visit them in the nursing home. I was told that by the worker there at the nursing home. Said that there are several people here, they won't come visit their members when they're dying. Will you come pray with family? And I was told it happened several times that people did not. You know what that tells me? They're not doing what James said is the evidence of true salvation, true religion. So he goes on here now, and I want you to understand this now. Let me get this. 1 Timothy 4:12, that word charity there, I say it's a godly love in action. That's what charity means. Charity means a godly love in action. Does anybody know what the word is in the Greek? Probably only my wife would probably know. If I say the word, some of you are probably going to know what the word is. I think there's three words in the New Testament that are translated into, or that are love. Two of them are translated into love. Third one is translated into charity. When you hear it, you're going to be mad at yourself. It's not as big out here as it is where we're from. There are actually churches that use this word. No. It is agape. Agape. I figured most of you, I know y'all probably have agape. There's some churches in our area that where we're from that they have used and started adopting that.
Retro Greek.
It is the Greek word. Or, the Greek word, Latin word, I think it's the Greek word. It means godly love. And it's a godly love, and so for us it means in action, putting that into work. It says, the Strong says agape is a love feast or a feast of charity. You know, what do you do when you have a feast? You eat, you celebrate, you do a lot of those things. So it means when you're that agape love, it means to do it a lot. And that's what charity is, real. It's a godly love toward others. I can't of myself do it. It has to be of God. There's a lot of people that they'll give. They think that that's all they've got to do. I've been in church for 22 years, and there's even some people in Baptist churches that are just guilty of that. They think all they've got to do is put their money in the offer plate, put their money in the box, and that's all there is. Did it say anywhere in there that money is what you got to know? We give and send missionaries because we do have an obligation. But James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless. We supposed to be visiting people. We're supposed to be inviting people, knocking doors. We're supposed to be doing what we can to get people in church. He says you're to visit the fatherless, but also the widows in their affliction. I believe churches still have responsibility to the widows of their church. And if they can, help some others. But that's why we have responsibility. But he says also to keep himself unspotted before the world. And so here James gives, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read James chapter 2 and look at the things that James says. Father, I pray for your help, Lord, tonight, that we would be an example in charity, God, that we would show that agape love, Lord, that you have shown toward us, that, Lord, as the moon reflects the sunlight, God, that we too would reflect the light of the sun to others and show people that we care. Help us tonight to show charity and to be an example of decency toward society. I pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2 now, he starts this. He says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And that verse right there is the way it's worded. He says, don't you have the faith of Jesus and then, or claim that you've got the faith of Jesus and then have respect to persons. Don't you say, he goes through here because he's going to say, he says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a good ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in the good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit thou here under my footstool. So he's saying, don't you say that you've got the faith of the Lord and say to the rich man, you come here and you take this good seat. Somebody actually was asking me about this the other day. I don't remember what it was. Maybe Dottie Leroy. I don't remember now. I was talking to somebody the other day and we was having this discussion. And I said that's the difference between a Baptist church and I guess some of these others. Because if somebody come in and ask me where to sit, I'm going to sit them on the front row because nobody hardly ever sits on the front row. That's the running joke. What's the most vacant seat in the Baptist church? The front row. You go into churches, I mean, 200 full. And guess what seat's vacant most of the time? The front row. But he says, if you've got respect to persons, you say, you look like you're a good-looking guy. You got money. Here, you come here. You take this good seat. Oh, this man that don't look like he showered in a week. We're going to let you stand back here in the corner. You see all that? Hey, the Bible talks about, there are people that have entertained angels unaware. I believe it's still possible in our day and time that angels could appear in the flesh to see whether you're going to do things. I know it's hard. A lot of times people in our day and time, they think that doing good is given to the vagabond on the side of the road. That's what a lot of people think. I can't do it, man. There's too many of them to drop. I don't mind buying them food. I don't mind trying to give them a nice meal or some people gas money. But I can't tell you how many times I've had people approach me and say, we need some gas money. Can you give me some money for gas? Yes, I can. Do you meet me over there at the pump or I'll come over there and pay? And they never show up. We've looked for every year. This would be our fourth Christmas now open as a church. And every year we've tried to do good to somebody. And guess what? Every year that every person that we've done to, they've left the church. They won't be able to say we didn't do something for them. We tried our best. So true charity, I guess I'm going to go through these as I'm going. True charity, number one, example in charity, decency towards society is what it is. True charity is not a respecter of persons as the Lord. If you're going to show true charity, you're going to give out tracts, you're going to invite somebody to church, you're going to do what you can to win people to the Lord. That's why the Bible still says to the Jew first and also to the Greeks send the gospel out. We still have responsibility. There's churches, some big churches that don't even look or try to support a missionary to try to reach Jews for the cause of Christ. We have responsibility. We're not to be a respecter of persons. You know, it'd be pretty bad as a pastor if every missionary that called that was going to Asia, I said, no, I'm not taking on no missionary to Asia. I don't like your people. That'd be disrespectful. But unfortunately, in our day and time, we've got pastors, even in Independent Baptist churches, that don't send missionaries to America. America's got plenty of churches. They don't need no more. And that's what I've heard. Don't have respect to persons. True charity is not to have respect to persons. It's to go to your neighbor, as well as some, whether they black, white, brown, whether they man, woman, or confused at this point. True charity, is to not have a respect to persons. He goes on. He says, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? If you're trying to say that this person do this and this person do that, At one time at Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle, the family that gave the most to the missions was our pastor. Was he the richest family in our church? There were people, families that had more money than our pastor at Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle at the time, years ago. People had more money, and yet he was the one, the biggest giver to our missions program. Don't let somebody fool you. Don't think somebody, well, I can't do that. Or it ain't. Listen, and there may be some that were better, even better givers than them, percentage-wise. Every man's got to do what they can do. If all you can do is a dollar a week, then you give a dollar a week to missions. If you give $5 a week, you give $5 a week. But it's between you and the Lord. It's not between. But I'm just letting you know, we're not going to be having respect for persons. But if somebody walks in and looks like they can fund this church for the next year, we're not supposed to treat them any different than we treat somebody that walks through the door drunk when they come through the door. We're not to have respect to persons. True charity, true love of God. The only thing, you know what they, what is it that they accuse Jesus of? He was a friend of sinners. That was the only thing they could really accuse him of that was true, that he was a friend of sinners. That's what I want to be accused of. I want to be accused of. I don't care, man. I don't care whether somebody's strung out on drugs or the richest person in town. I'm going to invite everybody I can to church. I don't want to have respect to persons. I've invited black people to this church. I've invited Hispanic people to this church. I've invited white people to this church. And if there was some Asian people, I'd invite them. If there was some Indians, red man here, I'd invite them. Red, yellow, black, and white. I don't care what color they are. And I really don't care what language they speak, as long as they can understand some Southern English good enough to hear the gospel. Because I just want to see people saved. And that's what true charity is. Paul told him, Timothy, that example in charity. He goes on. Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Anybody remember the story? It wasn't just a story, it was a true event in the Bible that Jesus said she gave more than everybody else. Do you remember that story? Who was she? She's just a widow woman. She cast in, two mites? And Jesus said, y'all have all cast in of your abundance, but she of her want, she's cast in all that she's got. That's what real charity is, real love and action. She wanted to do what she could. She couldn't do much. True charity is not a respecter of persons. Goes on, he says, now in verse number 7, he said, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Talking about those. It's the poor. Listen, it's not trying to be mean. But Jesus himself said, how hardly shall somebody that trusts in riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? It's the poor people, the ones that are down and out, the ones that ain't got nothing else to lose. Those are the ones that trust in Christ. Those are the ones that believe in the Lord. He says here, verse 8, he says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. So true charity is not a respecter of persons. True charity is not say one thing and do another. I don't preach anything to you that I don't do myself. He says here, if you tell somebody to keep the whole law and yet offending one, you're guilty of the whole thing. Now, do we break the law? Yes. I don't keep the Sabbath. I rest in the Lord. But I'm not telling you to keep the Sabbath. I believe personally, my wife and I, it drives our kids crazy, but one of these days, tell them, brother, they'll understand. We try to get them to rest and relax and have a little nap on Sunday. They're like, we don't want to. One of these days, they'll be wishing they hadn't been on to. They'll be going, man, what was that we saw that time? How many times? Naps, how I was so rude to you as a kid. if you don't want to, that's on you. But we set Sunday aside as a day to worship the Lord. We set Sunday aside as a day to rest and take that time. But that's on you. But as a church, that's when we meet to worship. That's when we do the majority of our worship. We meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night. We meet to worship. But true charity is not say one thing and do another. You know, kind of like a certain politician out of Vermont, I think it is, who's got 5 houses now, tells everybody else about communism or socialism and how they'll spread the wealth. And he's got like 5 houses now. That's saying one thing and doing another. Do you understand? If you're going to make a difference in somebody's life, you can't say one thing and live another. People see more. That's what evil communications, First Corinthians chapter 15, evil communications corrupt good manners. The way that we communicate, what people see, does a whole lot more than me being nice to you. If I say yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am to you, and then you go out to dinner with me and you see me being disrespectful to the waiter or waitress, that's going to make a whole lot more impact on you than the other. I got to move on. Verse number 8 says that if you felt, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons and commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressor, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, but yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. True charity. Don't say one thing and do another. Don't have respect to persons. We're to be just like the Lord. A lot of people use that. A lot of people use that. That the Bible says that the gospel, Jesus said, I came unto the Jew. I came to reach the house of Israel. And that's true. Why? Because they were supposed to get the service. But a lot of people forget that Jesus had a Gentile in his 12 disciples. That's where grace comes in. Simon the Canaanite was one of Jesus' disciples. We can't say one thing and do another. Verse number 14 now. He goes on, what doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Yes, faith is what saves you. But he says here, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Nobody had to tell me to be good to people. Nobody had to tell me after I got saved not to steal no more. Nobody had to tell me after I got saved not to lie no more. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. That's what James is saying to you. Hey, turn in, please. Faith without doing something to back it up. Faith without doing something to back it up is just dead. We don't believe in a works-based salvation, but we do believe because you got saved, God has saved you unto good works. Meaning He'll put it in your heart. When you truly get saved, you want to help people. There's people that we've wanted to help and people that we've desired to help that just they don't want to accept help. We've had people that they just refuse. They're like, no, don't want any help. You know they need help, and they just refuse it. He goes on here. He goes on. He says here in verse number 18, Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? True charity is not a respect of persons. True charity is not to say one thing and do another. True charity is not just words, but actions. Actions. Imagine one day, well, we know, most of us know that running joke. Husband and wife there, the wife says, honey, why don't you ever tell me you love me? Man says, I told you when I got married, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. That'd be a pretty rough marriage, wouldn't it, Bree? If he only told you the day you got married he loved you and never told you again, it'd be a pretty rough marriage, wouldn't it? That's how some of us are with the Lord, ain't it? When's the last time when you was in prayer, rather than just asking for stuff, you just said, God, Father, I just want to tell you I love you. I just want to tell you I love you. I just want to say thank you for being good to me and saving my soul. When's the last time you done that? You ought to do that. Y'all not be afraid to pick this Bible up right here. If you ain't got one, y'all let me know. I'll be glad to get you. Y'all be able to take this Bible. Lord, I just love your word. God, I just love your word. Actions speak louder than words. I know sometimes y'all girls think, well, Daddy don't talk to me good enough. Daddy ain't nice enough to me all the time. For a man especially, our actions, that's what we believe. A man, for the most part, believes that. Believes in taking care of you. A man feels like we shouldn't have to tell you I love you all the time. Now, if he ain't taking care of you, then he ought to. But your actions, true charity, the actions speak louder than the words. Do we love those people in Albania? Yes, we send somebody. Do we love the Jews up in New York? Yes, that's why we're sending missionaries. Hey, but I hope that y'all are not, because I'm not. I hope y'all aren't content with just those five, because I'd like to send some more too. I'd like to send some others to reach people for the cause of Christ. True charity. It's not just words, but actions. He says here was Abraham, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that works, that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's why I have a hard time, some people that say, oh, I'm saved, preacher. I'm saved, preacher. But they never put action to it. They have no works. Works does not save you, but it shows others that you are saved. If I made a mistake. Dropped it, but I bet people that they'll tell me, oh, I'm saved, preacher, but they won't get out of sin. They won't clean up their life. Let me just go ahead on record and tell you, you can't clean your life up. You may be able to stop for a little bit, like Bree was telling me that there's a group coming in there, that these different ones, I don't know what they are, but there's different ones, AAs, and people that are in dryout clinics to try to get off drugs. But you know what they always are? They're recovering alcoholics. They're recovering drug addicts. They'll always have that addiction while they live on this earth. The only way to truly be free, the only thing that can truly satisfy your soul, the only thing that can truly set you free from sin is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can set you free from the bondage of sin. That can break that addiction to alcohol. That can break that addiction to drugs. That works. Works does not save you, but it shows others. You say, preacher, I don't want to do anything. Well, then I do some checking up. I do some checking up. He says, look here. He says, verse 24, see ye then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you don't put some action to it, that's true. I just told you. Charity is love in action. That's the easiest way to think about what charity is. There's more complex, obviously, more. You look up the definition, there's a more complex definition of it. But true charity is love in action. And what he's talking about here, that agape is godly love in action. We show that by reaching people, by inviting them, by feeding them. Sometimes you have to feed people. We should want to be feed people. We should want to do things like that. Man, me and my wife, we talk about things we would love to do if we just get people on board. But people got to be saved first. We're not yoking up with the world. We listen, people are here to yoke up with us. We're not here to yoke up with people. We're here to establish a church, and if people want to join up with this, they have to show that they've been saved. We don't just accept, that's one of the, well, preacher, you know, you won't accept this, and you won't accept that. It's amazing that so many others won't accept what we believe, and nobody has a problem with that. Amazing how none of them won't accept what we believe, and nobody has a problem with that, but what we believe is according to the Bible, and what they believe is just by feelings. And we're the ones in the wrong, but they're okay. It's okay. True charity is not just words, it's actions. True charity is not a respecter of persons. True charity does not say one thing and do another. That's what real love is. You want a marriage that works? Prove it to one another. Take care of one another. Put the other person first. You're going to always feel like, well, I'm the only one doing something. That's how selfish we are as people. Let's just say it. That's how selfish we are as people. Man is a selfish being. That's why we're seeing so many people nowadays not getting married. Because they're selfish. That's why we're even seeing people that are married. Now, if people can't, that's one thing. But we're seeing a lot of people that are getting married and not having kids. Why? Because they're selfish. They're selfish. They don't want to take care of somebody else. That's not the way a church is supposed to work. A church is supposed to be reaching people. A church is supposed to be reproducing. A church is supposed to be having people saved. Go with me to 1 Timothy, back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 this time, and I'm done. First Timothy chapter 1. Here's what Paul says once again in this chapter this book when he's starting it out. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. He goes back to that word charity. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. The end of the law, we're not under the law. We are under grace. The end of the commandment is charity. That godly love in action out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jabblings. That's what I was just talking about before I got up here and preached. So many people say, oh, preacher, you're being mean, and you know, you just got to embrace them. It's not their fault. They're born. You know how many preachers now are saying this garbage? It's not their fault. They're born that way. Nobody is born that way. They burn in their lust, the Bible says, one toward another, doing that which is unseemly. But they turn unto vain jabblings. Why? Because they've departed from what the Bible says. They've departed from what the law says, from what God's Word says. He goes on, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. Is that not true? Is that not true? There are people out here trying to teach that we need to go back to the Old Testament law. Paul said neither do they understand what they teach. They don't have a clue as to what they're teaching. They don't have a clue as to what the law was for. That's why Paul, I believe, that's why there's two books of the New Testament, Galatians and Hebrews, that have to deal with people trying to lead Hebrews back to the Old Testament law. Paul has to deal with that. desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That's why it's important that you be in Christ. Paul said, I was just like them. I was just like them. He said, I was a murderer, a blasphemer. I caused others to blaspheme, Paul said at one point. But he said, I did it ignorantly. He said, I obtained mercy. If somebody like Paul can be saved, so can you. If somebody like Paul that blasphemed and murdered people can be saved, so can you. If you're here tonight, you're saved. You need to put some action. You need to put some action with it. You need to show others through charity that you care for them. Let's all stand tonight. My Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you've made, Lord. May we, as a church, Lord, live out charity, the love of God in our life, God. May we show others how much we care. May we reflect the love of God in our life, God, to others. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.